When you come to Matthew chapter 15, the beginning of Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is going to deal with those familiar foes, the scribes and the Pharisees. And as he deals with them, he realizes that their interest a lot of times is on the outward instead of the inward. And so that's really the context here in Matthew chapter 15. As we get down to verses 7 through 9, Jesus is going to quote one of the great prophets of old time, Isaiah 29 and verse 13. And you write that down in the margin of your Bible so you can go back and look at that, because that's exactly who Jesus is going to quote. And here's what he says. He says, "Hypocrites, those scribes and those Pharisees, those Jews, those Hebrews, those Israelites who weren't worshiping correctly, well did Isaiah prophesy about you," 29:13. "People draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." As we look at that passage, we see what's paramount is the cardia. You ever go to your cardiologist? If you go to your cardiologist, you know that your cardiologist is going to give you a checkup on your physical heart. And he's going to tell you about your cardia. And he's going to tell you if there might be some blockages. If there's anybody that knows anything about that, recently it's Kenny Johnson over here to my left. As his cardia was blocked up, and they had to do a number of bypasses to get that blood flowing back. It's possible today for us to check a list and say, "Well, I read today. I took the Lord's Supper today. I gave today. I sang today. I listened today. But my cardia was not part of the process. My heart was not involved in worship." And so if we're going to have a worship that honors God, it's going to be because our cardia, our heart, that seat of emotion and feeling is in tune with God. Can worship ever be rejected? Yes, we know that it was in the beginning. We know that Cain's worship was rejected by God because he gave the wrong sacrifice. And so therefore, boom, that worship was of no avail. It's interesting to me when you go all the way back to Amos chapter 5, and if you'd like to, you can. Amos dealt with the Hebrews, Jews, Israelites who were called upon and called out by God because their worship was not in harmony with God. Let's look at it in Amos chapter 5, 21 and following. I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. The Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews, their worship was not with the cardia. It was not with the heart. The same was true with Isaiah, a prophet who had an extensive prophecy. And we'll not read all of this, but I want you to have it for your notes and go back and look at this record in Isaiah 1, 10 through 18, because it basically says the same thing you read in Amos chapter 5, 21 through 24. So there is something that is referred to as worship that can be rejected because we're more interested in the externals than we are the internals. And so the Bible deals with incorrect worship, like Matthew 15, verse 9. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." That word vain there means empty, useless. One day a woman and her husband were leaving the parking lot, and she said to him, "Did you see that man sitting in front of me with that tattoo and that earring? Did you see that?" He said, "No, I didn't see that." She said, did you see that woman with that gussied up hat on? She was all decked out. Did you see that? He said, no, I didn't see that. He said, to tell you the truth, he said, I dozed off and I didn't see anything. And you know what she said to him? Well, it didn't do you much good to go then, did it? You see, there's something called vain worship where it's just empty and it's useless. It's not from the cardia. Then there's something called worship to Satan. And Jesus really was tested after his baptism in Matthew chapter 3 on this. He was tested because Satan came to him and he said, look, I want to make you a deal. I want to offer you. And three times in that context, you know what's written? Man shall not live by bread alone, the physical, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Satan tried to offer Jesus all of these things, but Jesus simply says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I don't know if you remember this particular account in Acts chapter 10. It's Peter, and he's breaking down the door to the Gentile nation, and he's getting the gospel into their hearts and into their lives. And Cornelius, who was a devout person, a sincere person, Cornelius recognizes Peter, and he bows down to Peter. And Peter said, get up. I'm just a man. I'm not worthy of worship. And this was an apostle who told Cornelius, do not worship me, worship God. And then we come to our last one in Revelation 19 and verse 10. And there was this idea of the worship of angels. And John the Revelator, the apostle of love, says, see that you do not do that, because vain worship is useless. Worship to Satan is discounted. Worship to Peter is not permitted. The worship of angels is not necessary. And so it's all about what is then true worship. Worship today. I want to suggest to us three things about worship today. Number one, worship today is in a corporate setting. 9:30, when we broke off in Bible class, that was not worship. 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday, not worship. We are in a corporate worship setting. You see, worship has to encompass every bit of what's supposed to take place on the day of the Lord. That's worship. The first day of the week, that's worship in the corporate setting. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, he teaches them about worship, about drawing near to God with a pure cardia, with a pure heart. He says that we should consider one another, provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what 10:30 is. We worship together and participate in every aspect of Christian worship. That's worship. To worship in spirit and truth. You remember the account of the situation in John chapter 4? I've got two up there, but it should be four. In John chapter 4, verse 24, the Samaritan woman, and she said, hey, Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to understand, it's not where you worship. It's all about how you worship. And so there's the cardia again. There's the heart. It's not where. You know, we're so fortunate and spoiled in America to have places to meet like this. We really are. But really what we could do is we could all go behind this edifice, behind this building, and we could do our worship outside the confines of this place. Like I've done in other places, in tents. And in places that are a whole lot warmer than they are in the coolness of this place right here. So it's about worshiping in spirit and in truth. Not where, but how you do it. And then the third thing is that worship is all about praising God. Praising God. He says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15 that we approach God with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We do it because our cardia is in the right place, because our heart is in the right place. And we do it really from the inside out. We do it from the inside, and then it shows on the outside. That is worship today. Let me give us this morning some practical points for God honoring worship. Got your seatbelt on? Number one, rest at home, not at worship. You know what makes Sunday morning successful? It's a lot of times what we do Saturday night. I mean, really. I've seen people, I've talked to people, and they've told me, man, he said, I was out half the night last night, preacher, man, and excuse me if I sleep a little bit during your lesson. You don't excuse me, you have to excuse it to God. Am I right? Amen. It don't matter about me. It matters about God. And so if you're going to rest, God says, I'm going to give you 167 hours to do your thing. All right. But this hour is solid. This time is mine. And so we rest at home. We don't rest in worship. Worship is something that we are involved in. Number two, I suggest to people, if you want to get the maximum out of it, you got to put the maximum into it. And so I tell people, use your Bible and get you a pen and a piece of paper. And if you feel like you're getting a little bit drowsy or whatever the case might be, start taking some notes. And if you can't grasp it or understand it, take a picture of the slides. I mean, really. Get your phone out and take a picture if you want to. It won't bother me. I'm used to people taking my picture. Take a picture of the slides. All right? And when you go home, study them. Look at them. Have it refreshed in your mind. Go over it again. Use your Bible. Take notes. I believe in marking up a Bible with notes. Number three. When the song leader gets up to lead singing, be a participant instead of a spectator. Participate in worship. I've talked to scores of people and they told me, you know what, I just can't sing. You have a voice? Well, yeah, I have a voice. Then you can sing. You know what God said? Make melody in your heart, your cardia, to the Lord. Now, it's possible that you could be like the fellow who told me one time that he was kind of like a singing prisoner. He said, a singing prisoner? What's that? Well, he said, I'm behind bars and I lose the key. And some of us might be a little bit of a singing prisoner. But let me tell you something. It's not all about all the time. I got to get it perfect it's about my cardia. The Bible says sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And so let's be a participant as we sing together. Number four, we got to know what God wants. And I put that in big letters, what God wants. See, I could exit here today and somebody might say, you know what, I didn't care for that song. You know what, I didn't really like that sermon. You know what, there's too much time spent on the Lord's table. You see, that's what I want. I'm looking at it from what I want. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. Can I say amen to that? Amen? The fifth thing is, and this is huge, and I think we need to take another look at this sometimes, because this too, if this keeps us, if our cardia is not in the right place, we need to do some adjusting here. Matthew chapter 5, I want to read 22 to 24. Matthew 5, 22 to 24. Listen to these words. I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, or you fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, therefore remember that you have something against your brother, leave your gift first. Leave your gift there first before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You know, we sometimes block our worship because our cardia is not right with somebody that we are having relationship issues with. And so what's happening? So God, I'm trying to give you this worship, God, but I got this horizontal conflict with somebody going on. And it's getting blocked. You know, we're not able to get that worship up to God because we've got this conflict with somebody going on down here. We need to first resolve the conflict, and then once we get that horizontal worked out, then the vertical is going to come into place. So I'm going to suggest to us this morning, these are practical points for God-honoring worship. Men, I want to talk to the men who serve at the table, read scripture, lead prayer, lead singing, preach, teach. I want to suggest something to you today. Because you're in a privileged position, you need to wear your best before God and His people. All right? Now, I didn't say you had to wear a three-piece suit. I didn't say you had to wear a tuxedo. I didn't say that. I'm asking you this question. Does God deserve our best? Does God deserve our best? Amen? Amen. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to wear my best for God. And those men who are representing God when we stand before the congregation. So I'm going to say, especially you men, tuck your shirt tail in. You know, UK is my favorite school to watch in sports, but I'm not gonna get up here and wear a UK shirt. All right, am I wearing underneath this? You know, like a lot of times people don't know I wear an S underneath this shirt. Superman, yeah. But not in front of the people. Not in you know. You know why? We talked about it in class a little bit. We've lost a reverence for God. You see, this morning to me, this is about I am meeting God today in worship. And so I'm going to give Him my best. I'm going to sing to the best of my ability. I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to pray. I'm going to listen to the person who leads the prayer. I'm going to put my head down because that works for me during the Lord's Supper. Because you know what? There's too many distractions a lot of times. And so I'm going to focus on what Jesus did for me. And what Doug said made sense to me. And I listened to what he said because it came out of the book, the Bible. And when I give, I'm going to try to give God my best. Who deserves our best anymore than God does? And so we're going to be talking in the next few weeks a little bit more about worship. And I trust, hope, and pray that you can exit here today and say, you know what? That makes sense. You know what? I appreciate what you said today. You know what? I have to learn that God is the audience in my worship. And I try to remember that over and over and over and over and over again. That when I am worshiping, that God is the audience. Now, this has been a teaching lesson, and I hope it's helpful to us as a church family to be more conscious and cognizant of what we're doing during this time frame. Now, we're going to get ready to sing a hymn of inspiration and encouragement. I love this time. It's a time that allows people an opportunity to say, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a God follower. I need to repent of my sins, confess my faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and today I need to be immersed. I need to reach the blood of Jesus. No power in the water, but power in the blood. There's where the blood is that washes my sins away. Maybe, just maybe, that I've had some empty, vain, useless worship going on, that I'm just checking the list. I'm just going through the motions in my cardia. Is not right. Let's not honor God with our lips and with our mouth and have our heart hundreds of miles away. Let's make sure that our heart is at the center of worship. Brian, as we stand and sing.